It's just the imagery that I want you to see. And it's something that just kind of focuses. This is one of the stories that leads up to the Christmas story. And we all know, we all recognize the story. We hear a lot about it now, especially as we're right at Christmas. But when the angel Gabriel comes to Mary and announces the birth of Jesus Christ and what the plan is and her involvement in it, if she's willing to receive it. You know, we all know that story. It's a great story. But there's a parallel version. There's another part. There's a dual part of that story. Because just before we see that in the book of Luke, we also see the angel Gabriel 6 months earlier comes and speaks to Zacharias. Zacharias is the husband of Mary's relative Elizabeth. And he's also a priest serving in the temple. And in that time of serving in the temple, the way it works is the priests had 24 different divisions or 24 different orders of the priesthood. And by lot, they would determine which of those orders would be serving in the temple for each respective week. And as God directed, it just so happened that the order of Zacharias, his order came up. So they were serving in the temple. And also, by the leading of God, because God wanted to speak directly to Zacharias, he ordered it so that was Zacharias. The lot fell to him. The Bible says this. The lot fell to him that he would be the one that would sprinkle the incense over the offering, the coal offering. He'd sprinkle the incense on the incense altar. So this is the picture that I want you to get. But let me just read the story to you. Then we'll look at the imagery that it brings to us. So it says in starting in verse number 9, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense. This is talking about Zacharias when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without the time of incense. That just means they're outside praying during this whole time. There was two times out of the day, once in the morning, once at night, where there was this service of the hour of incense, the hour of the incense altar. And verse number 11 says, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Now we can look at the rest of that, but I just want you to see what's happening here. So Zacharias is a priest. Zacharias, the lot falls to him to actually serve as the one bringing the incense and sprinkling it over the coals on the incense altar. Now, even the whole function of just taking care of the incense altar requires three different priests to do it. You have one priest, because this happened twice a day, you have one priest that would come in. It was his job to come in and to clean off the incense altar. So all the ash, all that was remaining on it, he would clean it off in preparation for the new. Then you had a second priest that would actually take the coals off of the offering, the sacrifice. And he would bring those and he would lay them on the incense altar. Then his job was done. And then you had the honored. You had the distinguished position, which by lot, ordered by God, fell to Zacharias. And Zacharias' job was to bring the incense. He would come to the incense altar and he would sprinkle the incense on top of the coals. And then the incense would rise up to God. It was representing the prayers of the people. But it was representing the prayers of the people that God could hear, because these are prayers of the people that are unimpeded by sin. So let's look at this from the perspective, first of all, of the people. Then we'll look at it from the perspective of Zacharias, because I want you to see in your mind what's happening here. So the people would gather outside of the temple. Now remember, only the priests could go into the temple, but the people could come to the courtyard. And they gather in the courtyard, and out there visible to them would be the altar where they would sacrifice the animal, be it a lamb or an ox or whatever. But they would see the animal that was sacrificed to cover their sins. So the animal's on the altar, they slay it, the blood pours out, the blood is shed to cover their sins. Then they'd also see as the animal is taken and then burned. So they're watching as the animal is burned. And again, this is the animal that is offered. His life is given. The animal's offer is given in sacrifice to cover their sins. So this is what they see. Then the animal sacrifice burns. And then this is when the second of the three priests who were serving at the altar of incense would come with his shovel and he would get some coals from that offering. So these are the coals. This is the actual coals of the sacrifice of the animal that was offered for sin, covering the sin of the people. He would take those coals and he would take them into the temple and he would lay them down on the altar of incense. And then it was the next priest, Zacharias in this case, who would then sprinkle the incense on it. So when you see Zacharias bringing the incense and sprinkling the incense over that offering, he sprinkled the incense over these coals that are not just any coals. These are coals that come from the sacrifice, the animal that was sacrificed to cover. The blood was shed to cover the sins of the people. So these are coals that represent a sacrifice. And when the incense is sprinkled on them, offering or representing the prayers of the people, these are prayers that come to God, and it represents that God can hear those prayers. That sweet smell of the incense would rise up as a rising up to God, representing their prayers being heard by God. And the prayers could be heard because there was no longer that separation between God. There was that momentary because the animal sacrifice. It redeemed. There was redemption or covering, the blood sacrifice, which allowed the prayers to be heard by the people. Their sins were covered, and thus they were now exposed to God. You know, and their hearts exposed to God. Remember, there is enmity between God and man because of the sin. So man can't be where God is at. There's separation between God and man until Jesus Christ. So this whole offering of the animals is just a foreshadowing of the sacrifice that is going to be Jesus Christ. It's a foreshadowing of what Jesus is going to do for the people, for you, for I, thousands of years later. He's going to be that sacrifice that didn't just cover. See, the animal's blood would just cover the sins. Jesus did bring redemption. Jesus, by his blood, by his being a sacrifice for us, his blood being shed redeemed us from sin. It removed the sin from us, thus giving you and I access to the presence of God. That's why it says we can boldly come before the throne of grace. We can boldly come before God. So this was a foreshadowing. The animal sacrifice was a foreshadowing of what Jesus was going to do, but what Jesus did was multifold, exponentially greater. And then the incense being offered up represented the prayers going to God and being able to be heard by God because the sin was covered. And that represents, if you will, that foreshadowing of that better situation that you and I have, because we can go right before God. God hears us when we pray. He hears us. There's nothing that stands between us and God because of that sacrifice. So the incense was on top. It was the prayers representing the prayers that were heard by God because they were offered on that those coals of the animal sacrifice. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, our prayers are lifted up and they're heard because there's no longer enmity between God and man. There's nothing that separates us from God. So these are the things that are foreshadowing. These are the things that it represents. But now let's go back to what the people saw, because the people just saw the animal being slaughtered. They saw the animal being burned. And then they knew that the process was because they need the sacrifice. They need to cover their sins. They need that blood sacrifice to cover their sins. And this is what their prayers are. You know, it's representing that forgiveness. So they watch as the priest, you know, gets his shovel, he gets some coals. And then the priest goes into the temple itself and he puts the coals down. So now the people are waiting outside because this is the hour of incense. So they're waiting for the next priest, in this case, Zacharias, to put that incense on there. And then that's representing their prayers going up. And then that priest, in this case, Zacharias, would come back out and he would speak a benediction, or he'd speak the priestly blessing over the people. So this is what their expectation is. Now let's look at this from the perspective of Zacharias. And what Zacharias sees. He comes into the temple. The temple is set up again. Only the priest can come in the temple. So he comes into the temple. And the temple in this part, which is called the holy place, looks like, if you will, kind of like a corridor that leads to the Holy of Holies. So Zacharias is walking in, and it's like a corridor leading towards the Holy of Holies. On his left-hand side, he's going to see all the menorah, all the candlesticks, all lined up on his left side. On his right side, he's going to see the tables of showbread. So he's walking in between these things. And as he's walking towards the Holy of Holies. He's in the holy place, but he's walking towards the Holy of Holies. And that veil that separates the holy place from the Holy of Holies, and behind that veil, which is a thick veil from the ceiling to the floor, behind it is the holy place. It's where the Ark of the Covenant is. It's where the presence of God comes to meet with men. And of course, we know that, you know, it's only on specific occasions that specific priests can even go in there. So he's walking towards, this is what he sees as he's carrying the incense to the incense altar. He's walking right towards that veil. He's walking right towards where the Holy of Holies is. The presence of God is right behind that curtain. And he's walking towards it. And as he's walking, he's got the menorahs on his left. He's got the showbread on his right. He's walking towards it. Only one thing is between he and that veil, between he and that presence of God in the Holy of Holies. And that is what stands there as the altar of incense. And the coals are there and they're burning. And he's walking to bring that incense to sprinkle it on top of the coals. And what he sees as he's walking, again, he sees that veil right behind it. The presence of God is right behind it. But there's the altar that he's supposed to sprinkle the incense on. And this word tells us in Luke that as he's walking towards it, what he sees just to the right of the stand of the altar of incense, just to the right, what he sees is the angel standing there. Now, Zacharias is a priest. Now, we know that it makes it clear that when he sees Gabriel, he's overcome by fear. We can understand that. You know, 80 times it shows us in the Word of God that when God appeared to people, he said, "Fear not." We're so used to living in this natural world that when we're confronted with the things of the supernatural, it's something we're not prepared for. So we understand why, even as a priest, we understand why Zacharias is troubled, fearful when he sees the angel. But Zacharias is a priest. He is an understander of spiritual things. When Gabriel identifies himself, which he does, to Zacharias, Zacharias obviously knows who Gabriel is. But what I want you to see for the moment is what Zacharias saw. Because he comes and he sees Gabriel standing there, and Gabriel says, "Hey, I got some good news for you. Fear not, Zacharias. Here's the good news that I have for you. Your prayers have been answered." So clearly, Zacharias and Elizabeth have still been praying that they would have a child, because this is what they were seeking. And Gabriel says, "Hey, your prayers have been heard. Here's the good news. You're going to have a son." Yeah, it defies all natural logic because Elizabeth has been barren. It defies all logic because you guys are so old. But this is the good news that God is bringing. He brought this word to me to give to you directly from God, saying, "Hey, be joyful about this." And not only are you getting a son, but this is who he's going to be. And it's all good news when you read through what Gabriel says. He said to him, "Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. You shall call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness." That's pretty good. That's the kind of message you want to get from God. "You shall have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb." Okay, that's never happened before in the history of man. That's pretty good news if you're Zacharias. Verse number 16, "And many children of Israel shall return to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him," speaking about Jesus Christ, "he shall go before him in spirit and the power of Elias, and turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Like, that's all really good news. There's nothing there that's bad news. That's all great news for Zacharias. So Zacharias is standing there. He hears the angel identify himself as the angel of God. And he says, "Hey, this is the good news that God had for me." Now, we need to also consider this, because Zacharias is a priest, so he understands what's going on. Picture this from his perspective. He's bringing the incense to sprinkle on top of the coals to offer up as that the prayer is being lifted up. And then he's supposed to do that and then go out and speak the priestly benediction, the priestly blessing over the people who are out there waiting. But he sees an angel standing next to it. Now, I gave you that imagery of what he saw as he's walking down that corridor, if you will, that kind of corridor shape to the holy place, walking towards the Holy of Holies. And right there is that altar of incense, and there's the angel Gabriel. So what he is seeing, he is seeing the incense altar, the altar of incense. The altar of incense is representing the prayers of the people being heard by God. That's what it represents. And he's seeing the angel of God standing next to the right of this altar, which represents the prayers of the people being heard by God. throughout the Bible, you see that the position of the right hand, being on the right side, that's always the position of favor. So he sees this angel in the position of favor next to this, which represents the prayers of the people being heard by God. The angel stands there in the position of favor. And who's the angel that's standing there? It's the angel Gabriel. Again, Zacharias knows who this is. He understands who Gabriel is. What did Gabriel represent? What would Zacharias know about Gabriel? Gabriel appeared to Daniel twice. And both times Gabriel appeared to Daniel, in both instances, it was just after Daniel had offered a prayer. And both times Gabriel came and said, I'm here because God answered your prayer. So Gabriel's appearance to Daniel on both occasions was representing the supernatural answer to prayer of God in response to the prayer of Daniel. So let's review from Zacharias' perspective as the priest. He's seeing the angel that represents God's supernaturally answering prayer. And he's seeing that very angel standing in the position of favor right next to the altar of incense, which represents the prayers of the people being heard by God. Now you put all that together and Zacharias' response should have been, man, God has answered my prayer. He even heard Gabriel say, God's answered your prayer. He should have been overwhelmed with joy saying, well, this is all great evidence. Thank you, God, for going to such lengths to prove to me that you've answered my prayer, and be excited. But that wasn't Zacharias' response. Zacharias' response was words of doubt. He even said, you know, can you kind of show me? Can you give me a sign that I would believe this? As though it's not enough to have the angel Gabriel himself standing there talking to you. Can you show me a sign? And this is the way that we are sometimes as well. God answered the prayers of Zacharias and sent an angel to tell him that his prayers were answered. The great thing is, this is how I ended the message yesterday. When you look at, and this is what I want you to see, because Zacharias became mute for 9 months because he didn't believe. Now, Mary had the same message, and it was said that she was highly favored because of her response. In both cases, it's the word of God. The angel Gabriel said, this is what God said. He had a word of God for Zacharias, as he did for Mary. Zacharias had an opportunity to take that word and to stand on that word and see the supernatural take place in his life. Now he saw it. I'm going to guess that's mostly from the faith of Elizabeth. He saw it. But it was a missed opportunity for Zacharias. And so many times we fall in that same category where we miss the opportunity to receive the things that God has for us. Because Zacharias had a word of God from an angel. You know, Paul said, if anybody comes to you with a different gospel than this one that I bring, you're to reject them, even if it was an angel that said, even if an angel said something that's contrary to the word of God. We have a more sure word here in this word. This is the word of God for us. When you read this word, when you read the Bible, when you read the promises that are here, and these are promises for you. You see a promise in there given to any person, it's a promise that's for you. You can hang on to it as well. This is the word of God. Gabriel came and gave Zacharias the word of God. He could have stood on that, taken it into his heart, stood on it, spoken it himself, stood on it, and seen the supernatural. You and I have that opportunity every day to see the supernatural take place because we've got a better word. We've got a more certain, more sure word by these words here in this word of God, in this Bible.